And welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of Bubba the Bloom, episode 293. Your final positional review of the 2025 fantasy baseball season, relief pitchers. The fun conversation that follows of taking one early or not and how that goes for your fantasy baseball season. We'll get to that and much, much more. But before so, you can find me on Twitter at BDAntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How we doing, my friend?
We're still in first pitch recovery mode. I think I speak for both of us probably at this point. Yeah. Two days removed. I was actually, both boys are off out of school today for Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day to our veteran listeners out there. So spent the day with reacquainting myself with my two boys, which is probably good after 4 to 5 days down in the desert with you. We won't talk about it too much, I don't think, but what a weekend, man. That was first pitch lived up to the hype yet again. It was awesome seeing everybody. Awesome hanging with you. Live show went well. It was a great time.
It was a great time. A lot going on, It was becoming more and more of a business trip every time compared to what it used to be, but still a ton of fun. Hanging out with people, talking baseball, goes by way too fast. Realize I'm getting old because I can't stay out till 2 or 3 in the morning like the rest of the boys do. Well, partly because we have responsibilities first thing in the morning, but also because I'm just old. But great times from starting it off with the golf tournament, which might have been the best one yet, to that was just a great week all around. The only thing that sucked was the travel, but that's everybody's problem these days, it feels like.
Yeah, hope everyone that we saw and hung out with down there got back okay. I don't think they did. Like the shutdown stuff was brutal. Both your flight, my brother's flight, all Southwest into Phoenix were all delayed for the same amount of time at the same time. So we're all texting each other. Oh, 3 hour delay. Oh, another hour. But whatever. We got down there. We played golf. It was a blast. So it was great.
Yep, countdown to Vegas is on now. That's next up on the Bubba and the Bloom road trip.
Next, we took our little pamphlets back with us. I think you grabbed the pamphlets.
Yes, I got those. I got a few of the other trinkets left. Got rid of a lot of them, though, so that's good. Yeah. Got rid of most of those. And unveiled some swag that you and I were wearing that people were very, very receptive to. I got a lot of people asking how could they get some. So that'll be, I guess, something to dig into as time goes on. For Bubba and the Bloom, because the logo is pretty sweet. I'll say so myself. But it was good. Vegas will be there in no time. And that was kind of one of the cool parts was, you know, a lot of like Mike Mager and a lot of, James Anderson, obviously Greg and others that are in Vegas, got to chat with them a bit and get the ball rolling in that regard. That sounds like a Rico's coming. I might get Lucas to come. He was a big guy that talked about it for a while. So we might have even more blood, young blood coming down there. To draft a little bit.
Yeah, that's next up. That's only 4 months away, so
I'll be here quick.
We'll get there.
I'll be here real quick.
Yeah. So,
but until then, we get to review relief pitchers for our final 2025 positional review, Ryan, and that means starting Thursday, folks, we move fully into the 2026 sphere, onward and upwards. Before you know it, we'll be previewing positions for the 2026 season, but a few little things before that, lost some other releases on the Patreon, and hopefully I'm just gonna say roughly around the beginning of December we might have something really fun coming your way, but we got to get a few more things lined up for that first.
Yeah, and I should, for the Patreon folks out there, should be revamping and finishing the 2026 version of our tools, a draft tracker and that sort of thing, because Steamer came out since I guess we were at first pitch. So that's all on my list to kind of wrap up at the end of this week, along with the forecaster. Get that ready to go for 26. First pitch has me like ready to roll for 2026. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm now supercharged and ready to start drafting. I'll probably start getting back in DCs early next week. As opposed to like being worn out on fantasy after 4 days of being down there, I'm absolutely ready to go now. Ready to use some AI too. How about that?
Yeah, the AI discussion is a whole new world. I might have to figure that out eventually. But yeah, it gets me going. I got half my catchers written down for the Black Book. So we're going there. I had to defend Goose a lot over the weekend. He was a topic on a lot of my panels I was on. So that was good to stay on brand right. for that. The last thing I'll mention, because we can always say we could talk FPAS the entire show. Last thing I want to mention is we did the meetup at the Derby, which was awesome.
Yes.
That was a lot of fun. I posted a picture of that. There's, what, like 15 of us or so, give or take, in our own little section. And we got to see one of the biggest human beings alive just hit the living snot out of baseballs. Like, took out a kid on the berm. That was pretty entertaining. hit two out of the stadium. Like, it was one of the craziest feats I've ever seen.
Yeah, Big Tone, man. A legend has been crowned. Big Tone. Tony Blanco. I don't care if he's got a – I think people were saying he's got like a 40% K rate in single A.
Yep.
That's not great, but he has an entire fan club. Burks is in the chat. Tony. We were chanting his name. I'm sure he could hear it because we were right next to the field, chanting his name in that final round, and Big Tone delivered. So if Tony Blanco – if we're ever doing a Fab episode in like 2 years and Tony Blanco comes up, we will – we will remember that night.
Yep, no doubt about it. All right, Ryan, let's do it. Let's get it over with. Let's talk relief pitchers. It's a murky subject right now. We're reviewing right now, thank goodness, because if this was a 2026 preview, it's all over the board at this point in time. So give us a brief outlook, Ryan, as people that are seeing this realize it gets nasty towards the end.
Gets nasty towards the end. It got nasty at the beginning, too. I mean, So I put this out earlier. We did not out of the top seven. So I'll set the tone here in honor of Tony. It's our same format that we're looking at the top 30 ADP of, I want to say closers, but anyone who got a save in 2025 ordered by those top 30 with their end of season rank per the Fangraphs player rater, which I will say at the top, grain of salt, the player rater is a little funky with relievers over at Fangraphs, and that's not a slight, it's just how they value saves, I guess. So don't look too much at the 2025 rank. It is there. I think the biggest thing is just looking at the save totals. Look at ERA, WHIP. We've got color coded on the Bloom board. For me, none of the top seven relievers drafted entering 2025 secured 30 saves, which is to me a pretty bonkers stat. And yes, it's pretty arbitrary. We had Josh Hader with 28, Edwin Diaz with 28, and Iglesias with 29. So, you know, whatever. But nobody had 30. And this was the first year in, I think, quite a while where it was pretty topsy turvy in terms of the reliever position. It had been stable as hell for the previous couple years, and that got flipped upside down this year. So the sweet spot for closers last season was those middle rounds, was relievers like 8 through 21. As you can kind of see on the board, that's where the vast majority of the saves came from. There were a few 35 plus saves guy, a bunch more 30 plus. So that's where the sweet spot was in 25, that the ADP kind of 60 through 190. The interesting thing to me, though, after that, it fell off a cliff too. So if you totally waited on closer past like pick 200, it got very ugly very quickly. So ugly late, not great early. The middle rounds was where it was at in 2025 for saves at least.
Yeah, no, very, very ugly in that regard. As you mentioned, like not a lot of 30 plus save guys early. There's only 8 in the entire season, which says a lot about the position. Yeah. If you want to go even deeper, 20 or more saves, there was 21 pitchers. So if you're in a 12-team league and you're drafting 24 closers, only 21 of them had over 20 saves. Do the math on that real quick. It's why when we talk about 12-team leagues, sometimes you need 3 closers or need to work the wire. In 15s, if you can get one good one and kind of play the game, you'll probably survive. In DCs, it's another reason why the number's so low, because when you're drafting them so early, it doesn't pan out and you're trying to pencil it together late. We'll get into all that for 2026 preview, but it stood out this year because in years past, actually, I'll go back and look when we do deeper dives into relief pitchers on what I wrote at the Black Book last year. But just off the top of my head, it felt like a lot better at this position. I guess I could look at it real quick, actually. Let's just do 2024. Let's see how things. Oh, yeah. We had in 2024, we had 2 pitchers with over 47 saves. We had 8 pitchers over 30. And then we had 22 of 20 or more. So the 20 or more stayed about the same, 30 or more. Yeah. But we had two elite closers in 2024 when things were all said and done. So, yeah, it's not a massive thing anymore. I think it's a combination of we saw a lot of injuries. We saw a lot of guys lose their jobs or get traded. We saw a lot of poor production in losing jobs. And just some teams like to mix and match at times.
Federal indictments. You know,
yeah, we're not even going to talk about, since we've been gone, Emmanuel Clase and Jorge Lopez. See ya is the best way I'll say it. We're not going to see them anytime soon. Let's put it that way. That's another thing to worry about. Like Cade Smith, it will be a discussion point in breakouts because he broke out because Emmanuel Clase basically is going to go to jail. So just things you can't predict when you're previewing a position.
Things you can't predict, exactly. The number one closer off the board, probably, I won't say probably, maybe never pitching again in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I would be thoroughly shocked if he gets a reprieve back to baseball.
That was interesting when that news broke at first pitch. Everyone was on their phone kind of at the same time, and it's like, oh, okay.
Yep. I had Ron Chandler behind me, and I showed him. He's like, oh boy. I was like, yeah. That's just then. Just more and more news kept coming out on that one. So
look at you, breaking news to Chandler. I like that.
Yeah, he was probably working on his next book, testing AI out and seeing what was going on. So, yeah. It's crazy looking at these numbers, as you mentioned, ratios. You still get some good ratios, and that's kind of the target point of why you want to potentially take an early closer, is you get those elite ratios. Then you hope for strikeouts along the way, but hey, I thought that with Devin Williams didn't happen. So, there's a good pocket we'll talk about later. If you waited and nailed it, you were money ahead when all things were said and done.
Yeah.
Let's get to it then, Ryan. We'll go player by player. This won't take long because by about the 21st or 22nd player, there's not much more to talk about. But Emmanuel Clase was first off the board. I'm not even going to worry about talking about him because, again, we're not going to see him for a while. But did get 24 saves before. And easily, you could just drop him when he went. He got suspended. So that helped. But, Clase gone.
Yeah, for sure. So even though Clase finishes, 35th on the player rater, yes, like the ratios from the previous couple years didn't repeat. I don't think anyone thought that the BABIP, the strand rate, was going to hold from 2024. So 3.23 ERA for Clase, 1.23 WHIP. Not, you know, certainly far off of what he did the year prior. Got you your 24 saves. And like you said, once the news broke, it was pretty quick that you could move on. And I mean, if you prorated those 24 saves over a full season, if you assume Clase would not have been doing what he was doing, that probably would have worked out as a pick. Maybe you got Cade Smith as, you know, in Fab to do that. So it's all how you reacted to that news. So on the surface, not what you want from your number one closer. May not have been as bad depending how you pivoted and how your team was in saves when the news hit. But unfortunately, man, I don't know. This may be like the last time we ever talk about Emmanuel Clase, which is just kind of weird. Actually, he's on one of my teams for next year.
Yeah, because you got auto drafted.
I got auto picked in the 39th round of the meatball draft. So he's going to be my, God, I hate to even make the comp. I took Lance Lynn in a draft and hold last year, and then he retired, and I had to hold him all year. It's like, can I just drop him off my DC team? But you're not allowed
Lance
to do
Lynn
that.
Doesn't deserve that.
Lance Lynn does not deserve that. Emmanuel Clase, yeah, I can probably drop him off my DC team, but does not feel good to have a share of Emmanuel Clase in 2026 already.
No, not at all. All right, the second reliever off the board had the same ADP as Clase at ADP 38, and that was one Mason Miller. Mason Miller delivered. Unfortunately, he finished with 22 saves, which was great, but unfortunately was traded to San Diego and became the setup man. Still picked up his occasional save, but was still absolutely filthy when all things were said and done with his 2.63 ERA. We saw a whip of 0.91. Once again, that was great. And a 32.5% K to walk. He had a 44.4% strikeout rate. Almost 50% of the batters he faced went down in strikes. That is insane to think about and say out loud. Mason Miller's filthy. And I know the 22 saves hurts because where you drafted him, you were thinking I'm getting a 30 to 40 save guy. But ratios were huge if you kept using him. But in a 12, that's tough to do. So kind of a mix of feelings on the Miller situation.
And the 104 Ks. I mean, that's almost a like low end starting pitcher in terms of strikeouts. That's kind of a hidden advantage of having someone like Mason Miller. So yeah, bad luck with the trade. I don't think anyone thought that was a possibility even entering the season. So that's kind of a tough break. Did folks hold on to Mason Miller after that? Did they not? I think he was still pretty universally rostered after that, but whatever. An awesome year for Mason Miller. Remember, he had a rough patch. Yeah, I've got his game log. May 30 gave up 5 runs. May 23rd. So really the month of May for Mason Miller was pretty brutal. Had a 10.38 ERA. I think gave up 1 or 2 earned runs in July and August combined, and September, the last 3 months of the season combined. So recovered quite well. And yeah, we'll see what we got him in XFL. DVR and I got him in XFL for like $20. We hope he's a closer next year. Well, because we got time to talk about that, but still a pretty damn good year for Mason Miller.
Very, very good year. It's interesting to think about, like, yeah, people were rostering him, but like the NFBC takeaways panel with Toby, Steve O'Swervey, Toby's backflip crazy, Steve O'Swervey and Mike Mager, they did a really good talk on the closing thing, because Mager was fabbing saves later in the season when he won his overall auction. And it came down to, was it worth it to start those, quote, they call them like half save guys, which is kind of what Miller is. Mm-hmm. Like, so you get the ratios, you get the strikeouts, which is great. But like in an overall competition to keep trying to get saves to stay in it, like in the end, he's kind of hurting you more than he's helping you, as weird as that sounds. And because at least according to, like, if you do the charts with Steve O'Swervey, and it keeps good charts on his website to see all that and everything. Like in a DC, I could see him being still extremely valuable in that regard. But if you're going for like an overall competition, it was tricky to sit there and actually start. I remember Ben Tidd towards the end was debating putting him in his lineup certain weeks and benching him other weeks when he was going for his deal as well. So just wanted to throw that little nugget out.
Yeah. I mean, even in a lot of 15 teamers though, I mean, just the, what'd you say, 22 or 24 pitchers only had 20 plus saves this year. I mean, if you're in a 15 teamer, half your league doesn't have a second closer. So, you know, at least in standalone leagues, you've got to, half the league's trying to patch together those half dudes and try and make it work. So you're not alone. Certainly in overall, it's a little bit different, but
it's the overall thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause like in an overall, like he was talking about how he was going to pick up, like, you know, the Astros closer when Hader went down, like Fair for Washington, like, so Abreu for Houston, like all those kind of guys, Uribe for Milwaukee, those guys were giving you saves where Miller wasn't. So that's the discussion, kind of what you needed situation. All right, the third closer off the board, one of my most rostered players. So if you want to know why I finished fourth, fifth, and sixth in most leagues, this is probably one of the factors why. Devin Williams had an ADP of 41, a 3 after Mason Miller. Devin Williams had a 4.79 ERA, a 1.13 whip, 18 saves, and lost his job like 3 times. So really rough go for Devin Williams. Looked absolutely lost at times, and they put it back in the 7th and 8th and looked pretty good again. Like, okay, we're back. And they get back in the 9th and struggled yet again. So very, very rough season for Devin Williams, a guy that I liked a lot for multiple reasons, going to New York, and a guy that just perennially racked up, you know, pretty decent strikeout numbers, got you a lot of saves. It all disappeared this year, but I'll let you have the floor. There were a lot of factors, I think, that stand out as just a lot of things went wrong for him.
A lot of things went wrong. I mean, this just speaks to the volatility of the position. I mean, inherently, relief pitchers, you're only getting, what, 60-ish innings out of somebody for an entire season. 60 innings out of a starting pitcher is like 2 months. And, you know, starting pitchers have bad stretches like that all the time. It's just, it doesn't encompass your full season like it does for relievers. So, totally, totally brutal if you took Devin Williams, if you were Bubba in 2025, you know, not, you know, speaking only for relief pitching, not life, not fantasy baseball, that sort of thing. But tough scene if you were Bubba and you took Devin Williams. I don't know, man. I mean, I look at the skills. I look at the K, still a 34% K rate, best walk rate. I'm still in. Like, yes, the skills are not, the swinging strike exactly the same as it's been, like 18%. That's elite. Walk rate's the lowest it's been since COVID times. Like, I just think this was just a brutal stretch in a new spot and think he's going to be fine. That doesn't help anybody who took Devin Williams. And the problem with having Devin Williams in 2025, like you said, he lost his job and got his job back again, like 2-3 times. When did you cut bait with Devin Williams? I know in labor, I picked Williams at your recommendation. You can blame me for that one. Yep. I held on to Devin Williams until sometime in August, and it was pretty much a dead roster spot for me for much of the season.
Yeah, and just to add on to some of the things you mentioned the walk rate. He had 90 strikeouts. That's the second most in his career.
Hot. Yeah.
Yeah, like that's pretty good. And then it encompasses a 55% left on base rate. That's like insanely unlucky. It's usually like 85 and above for him. And then he had a BABIP of 296, the second worst of his career, basically, as a full-time guy. Like, yeah, things went wrong. That's reality. Like, he had a very bad season. Like, if you want to look at Sierra, 267 Sierra, that's pretty dang good, all things considered. So, yeah, to your point about the skills, that's why I was looking at it. You named, like, half the things I was looking at. I'm still very much in. He's a free agent. Again, that's a 2026 discussion. But, yeah, it did not work out. We saw a very similar pitcher, just the results didn't go the way they want because of the volatility, like you mentioned, of 60 innings. Like, a lot of starters, that's 12 starts. Like, they get 18 more to fix these things. Devin Williams did not, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, even Aaron Nola hits rough patches, you know, as a starting pitcher. So,
all right, Josh Hader is the next reliever off the board here at an ADP of 42 right after Devin Williams. Josh Hader had a pretty strong season before he left with an injury. 2.05 ERA, 0.85 WHIP, 28 saves. So another really good season for Hader. First time in the last four, he had four straight years of 30 plus saves. So he lost that by two, but the injuries derailed that situation. Before the injury, though, was on pace for another great save, another odd year, just bonanza for Josh Hader. Early reports are he'll be fine for opening day. I have shares because he's gone cheap in the early drafts we've done, but just beware of that. But he'll be with the Astros. I think it was a very strong season, and the injury just shut things down.
Yeah, it's just funny. I mean, similar along the lines of Devin Williams, it wasn't as bad for Hader as it was for Williams in 25 Hader's 2024. But he had a 3.80 ERA, and there were kind of whispers entering 2025. It was like, is Hader still elite? Yeah, Josh Hader would have probably been without the injury. I mean, he missed almost 2 months with that injury, like would have made a run at being the top closer overall. I mean, a 0.85 WHIP is awesome. K's were there. Hope everything checks out for Josh. He's still only 31. To me, Josh Hader seems like he's 36, 37 years old. I'm still 2-3 years away from drafting the guy.
I was about to say, yeah, he's not even on your radar yet.
Jesus. But no, I hope everything checks out because everything, and it was just kind of out of the blue, honestly, in terms of the injury. Like, Hader was just rolling along. Velocity was good. Ton of swinging strikes and just a tough break. But still, you're happy. I mean, even without the last 2 months, you're happy you took Josh Hader given the ratios and finished seventh at the position. Still got you the 28 saves and basically 4 months of work, which is pretty damn good compared to the rest, really the guys in front of him.
Agreed. Edwin Diaz at an ADP of 47. He was the fifth reliever off the board. Bounced back again. You mentioned Hader bounced back. Diaz bounced back at a 1.83 ERA, a 0.87 WHIP with 28 saves on the season. It was last season at the 3.52 ERA. Injuries, lost his job for a bit. Looked much better in 2025. A lot. He wasn't the dominating guy we saw in 22, but still an absolute beast on the mound and looked back to being one of the top relievers in baseball.
Yeah, honestly, a little bit unlucky to only get 28 saves on a Mets team that, I mean, didn't win a ton of games, missed the playoffs at the end, but feels like he should have gotten a few more save opportunities, especially that, I mean, dude, a 1.63 ERA. I mean, that's the nail. So he finished second with only 28 saves at the position is pretty solid. So very nice rebound season from Edwin Diaz. And you're right, man. I forgot that Edwin Diaz kind of lost his job in 2024, only got 20 saves. I mean, not to bring everything back to Devin Williams, but it's just another kind of data point in Devin Williams' favor when you take the long view for someone like that.
Yep. Sixth reliever out the board at ADP of 51. So we're seeing like a pocket here of a lot of relievers going in the same area here. Something to keep in mind in the draft season as you get going. Raisel Iglesias, sixth off the board, ADP at 51. Finished with a 3.21 ERA, a whip of 1, and 29 saves. Another strong save season. That's 29 or more saves in 4, 5, 6, 7 of the last 8 non-COVID seasons. So we talk about how just consistently good he is. He's kind of like he's on his way to being a Kenley Jansen because he's getting old and the strikeout rate's slowly decreasing, but continues to give you okay ratios, continues to lock down a ton of saves. Again, the ratios are going up from what you expect, but the one whip is still outstanding for Raisel Iglesias. He picked up 73 strikeouts, you know, another strong year in that regard. And most importantly, got you the saves you're looking for. So I have zero complaints with Raisel Iglesias. It's just a beautiful time for him.
It is. And for Raisel Iglesias, it was all timing. It was bad timing. He had a 6+ ERA the first 2 months of the season and had lost his job for a little bit. And I feel like everyone just kind of instantly gave up on Raisel Iglesias after that. Second half of the season for Raisel Iglesias, it was a 1.47 ERA, a 0.68 whip. That is elite, and 20 saves. So I think there were probably folks who dropped Raisel Iglesias at some point during that rough patch in the first half, and that certainly came back to bite. So Raisel Iglesias, excellent season, just kind of front-loaded his struggles, and I think the perception of Raisel Iglesias' season was not as good as it actually was, because he finished strong as hell.
Yep, I had a lot of Raisel, so very happy with how that panned out. A guy I didn't have any of this year coming off that massive 49-save season in 2024 was Ryan Helsley, ADP of 52. The struggle bus is real. Final numbers, 4.5 ERA, 1.54 whip, 21 saves. But let's break this down for a second. First half of the season, got traded at the trade deadline to New York. So his outings with the Mets, 21 saves, ERA of 3. He had a whip of, where did you go, little fella? A whip of 1.39 with the Cardinals. So that's not great, with a 17.2% K to walk. Now let's show you how bad it was with the Mets, because this was not good, as I update this real quick for you. With the Mets, he pitched 20 innings with the Mets, had one hold, no saves, 3 losses, a 7.20 ERA. A 1.8 home run per 9. We're talking about a 23.2% K rate, 11.6% walk. That's an 11.6% K to walk with a 1.8 whip. He was lost, and that's the nicest way I can say it, with the Mets.
Lost with the Mets, and, I mean, some troubling signs. I mean, the last 2 months of the season wasn't really missing bats. It was like a 13% swinging strike for like to call him Hunter Hurst Helsley, but like that's 13% is above average, but not if you're above league average, but not if you're an elite closer. The control was terrible with the Mets. And like, I guess the good news, if you had Hunter Hurst in 2025, you probably dropped him once he got traded to the Mets. So this damage did not occur, hopefully, on your rosters, because it was pretty obvious that Helsley would be behind Edwin Diaz. So maybe that's the kind of silver lining here. Certainly clouds his outlook for 2026, given how he finished. Now he doesn't have a team, but yeah, man, this was the one, like, out of all the closers we've talked about, like, yeah, Class A, Mason Miller, Devin Williams, but like the ratios were truly horrendous for Helsley. Like, at least Devin Williams got you a decent whip and a bunch of Ks. Like, yeah. Helsley, man, this was brutal. But again, the struggles were very much backloaded, so hopefully you had moved on by the time that happened.
Exactly. The A3 reliever off the board, 1.73 ERA, 1.03 whip, 38 saves. The floor is yours, Ryan, because this is yours guy. Andrés Muñoz was probably the best closer in baseball.
Yeah, Andrés Muñoz finally got the ninth and had it all year and never relinquished it. I mean, that was the obvious guy. We had Andrés Muñoz arguments. I don't know how we did not do a beer bet on Andrés Muñoz entering the season. I was, I want to say, somewhat on an island with this, but like, Andrés Muñoz never had more than 22 saves. He had 22 saves in 2024, 13 saves the year before, but just had never been the guy. And then came up to 38 saves in 2025 with elite ratios. I will say Andrés Muñoz did not pitch that well. We had like a 21% K to walk. That's good. It's not elite elite, but whatever. Andrés Muñoz is the guy in Seattle with Dan Wilson. Like that, I think the manager change solidified that. Wilson loves to have a ninth inning guy, maybe to the Mariners' detriment in game 7 of the ALCS, but I keep bringing that up. I don't know why I do that to myself. Yeah,
you mentioned that a few times.
But yeah, anytime George Springer got brought up at first pitch, I inflicted pain upon myself. But no, awesome year for Andrés Muñoz. This is one, if you took him at ADP 57, you nailed it.
As Sam in the chat here says, such a great Sam. Season to watch Muñoz pitch all season so consistently. And Sam is the greatest Fantasy Feud host you will ever see. So, yes.
Highlight of first pitch was Saturday Night Family Feud. Well done, Sam. That was awesome.
Yep, well done. All right, the ninth reliever off the board, ADP of 66, was Ryan Walker. Finished the 4.11 ERA, 1.27 whip, 17 saves, lost his job, got it back because of trades and an injury. It was a weird season. Like, he had it early on, looked okay, but you could see some chinks in the armor, continued to develop. He was not striking guys out like he was in the previous two seasons. It just wasn't there at all. Like, he was serviceable at times, but Duvall got the job. He struggled, got traded. Randy Rodriguez was just lights out in the bullpen. He got the job, kind of struggled, then got hurt. So then Ryan Walker just by proxy got the job back for like the final month of the season. So it wasn't a complete dud, but it wasn't great by any means.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He had 4 saves in April, 5 in May. That's great. Then lost the job. So 0 saves in June, 0 July, 2 in August. And then he did get 5 in September at the end for the reasons you mentioned. But I would think Ryan Walker was off of many rosters by then, hopefully, at least through the bad months. But I don't know. You've got a better read on Walker. Like, do you think he's still the guy next year?
I think they find somebody else. Personally, like, Walker was he was so good. Like, when we did the show last year, he was a top like 5 reliever based on the player rater because he had all the wins from being a piggybacker, and then he did get some saves. Like, he just did a little bit of everything. But if you look at his page, like his Fangraphs page, he was making guys swing and miss. He was getting strikeouts. He's done that his first two seasons. This last year it dropped tremendously. He just wasn't getting guys to miss it, and he's not overpowering enough to like prevent hard hits. So it's just it added, like, I watched a lot of games where it was base hit, like, it was just all over the place. It was frustrating, because he wasn't dominating at all.
There were many games as we were starting to record a podcast where we were watching the ninth of the Giants together, and you were on edge, I'll just say.
Yeah, mainly because of the manager who will not be there anymore, so that's good too.
It's a shame, all man. Right. It's a damn no, shame. We need no, Melvin back.
No, we don't. Said no one ever. All right, 10th reliever off the board, another fearsome guy. And he finally got out of Rocco Baldelli's disaster, and people got to realize how dominating he can be in the back end of a ball game. Johan Duran finished with a 2.06 ERA, a 1.1 whip, 32 saves. He threw a career-high 70 innings pitched, went to Philadelphia. It seemed like he was lights out there. He had another 21.3% K to walk, so just in line with the way things have been in the past. Like, almost a lot of his stats are almost identical. It's just the fact he got to do it more. 80 strikeouts was great to see. He is an elite closer. I've always been hesitant because of the Baldelli curse, but in Philadelphia, this guy goes much earlier in my mind.
For sure. I haven't looked much at ADP for 26, but I would think Johan Duran is the top guy, if not top 2, something like that. Yeah, finally, like you said, finally got out of Baldelliville and was obviously able to close the ninth for a contending team in Philly. So we all knew Johan Duran could do that. It's nice to see him actually do it. And going forward, he will be locked into that role. And yeah, 32 saves. That's a career high for Duran, and well done. I don't see this going away anytime soon. I don't have too much to add to Duran. He's awesome. He's a monster, and now he has the role.
As a role, has an intro in Philadelphia, like, he's everything an elite closer should be now. So yeah. Buckle up. The 11th reliever off the board, Joe Arrico's favorite relief pitcher, Jeff Hoffman, who honestly, a lot of people don't like this guy, but I always had his back. He finished with 33
saves. Go easy on the guy. He had a tough
like the ratios were rough, 4.37, 1.19. There's no denying that, but 33 saves. When people were ready to throw him off the bridge somewhere, he finished the season actually pretty strong, helped the Blue Jays get to where they were. And then it just fell apart because some catcher decided to hit, or actually some utility infielder decided to hit a home run off of Hoffman and blow things up. But all in all, 33 saves, career high for Jeff Hoffman. The ratios are what people will remember from him. But as a whole, I thought it was a good season. Obviously, the ERA will crush you, but overall, I thought it was pretty good. And it was kind of a tale of two seasons, but honestly, he's actually better in the second half, ironically.
It's interesting to me. It's just an interesting thought exercise. 4.37 ERA, not great. But if you took Jeff Hoffman, you got 33 saves out as the closer 11 off the board, I think you take that. The ratios weren't great, but as a reliever, it doesn't crush you. You pay for saves. That's what you got with Hoffman. It did have 7 blown saves. It was a long ass leash for Jeff Hoffman, but in terms of I guess they've come out and said he's not, I forget what the exact wording was from Toronto Brass, but may not be the closer in 26. Who knows? But I don't know, man. I think you take this season if you drafted Jeff Hoffman. There were some ups and downs, but end of the day, ratios weren't awful. They weren't elite. They didn't help you, but I don't think they hurt you that much. And again, end of the day, you got 33 saves. That's what you take these guys for. And you got it. Yeah. I mean, you had more saves than anybody in the top 7. So there's that.
It's pretty crazy to look at his month by month numbers. First month of the year, 1.17 ERA, 2 earned runs. Second month, May, 10 innings pitched, 15 earned runs.
Oof.
June, 10 Oof. Innings, 2 earned runs. July, 10 innings, 5. August, 12 innings, 8. September, 10 and 2/3, 1. So it's like that 15 earned run May, you could say the 5 and the 8 earned run July and August, but basically the month of May just completely curtailed everything. 15 earned runs and 10 innings pitched will just butcher your overall stat line.
That'll do it.
All right. One of the Dodgers' many relievers / closers this season, Tanner Scott, was the 12th one off the board with an ADP of 75, 4.74 ERA, 1.26 whip, 23 saves. So he got to the saves, spent time on the IL. But before he went on the IL and kind of after he came back, he was a shell of himself. He was lost on the mound.
Did not end well at all for Tanner Scott. I had a good amount of Tanner Scott, and I just figured, mostly in drafting holds, I figured he'd sign somewhere and be the closer. And then when he signed with LA, it was I don't know, because LA signed half of the available good free agent relievers this past offseason. But remember, this is main event ADP, NFBC main event ADP that we're looking at. Many of these drafts took place after the, was it Korea or Japan series? Where did they play?
I think Japan. Now that you mentioned that, I'm confused now.
Korea. Yeah. I don't know. Overseas. Yeah. Basically, those first two games, Tanner Scott got a save in one of those. And it was, I believe it was the first of the two. And the ADP just shot through the roof. And again, at the end of the day, got you 23 saves, but did not end well for Tanner Scott. And by the end of the season, was certainly not the the closer in LA.
Yep, agreed. Not the closer, and who knows where that one's going next season. 13th off the board, Trevor McGill, ADP of 124. So big gap. Tanner Scott, 75. We dropped nearly 50 picks to the next one. So guys, the quote-unquote got their guys, the what they thought were the elite guys. Now we got a break for a little bit here at the closing position. It starts with Trevor McGill, a guy I liked quite a bit. 2.49 ERA, 1.13 whip, 30 saves, pitched really well. Eventually went on the IL with his injury. Came back for the postseason, didn't close in the postseason, so we'll have to see how that one plays out. But 30 saves in 50 appearances, 47 innings pitched, picked up 6 wins as well, which was big. Looked really good, not a massive strikeout arm, had the 31% K, but only 60 strikeouts in those 47 innings. So I was very happy with what I got from Trevor McGill. I was kind of bummed I didn't get a full run of it. But overall, an outstanding closer. It just never took his job back, though, once he returned in the postseason.
Yep, agreed. That for me with the injury history of Trevor McGill, that's a concern. But yeah, for 2025, McGill was pretty lights out, held the job for most of the season, at least until he got hurt. And yeah, if you take the 13th closer at a ADP of 124 and you get great ratios and 30 saves, you walk away with that a happy person all day.
Very, very happy. The 14th reliever off the board, Robert Suarez. Yes. Very surprising winner. 2.97 ERA, 0.9 whip, and 40 saves. Ryan, some fun numbers here. This is Robert Suarez's second season with at least 40 saves. Let that one sink in.
Really?
He had 42 saves in 2021 in the MPB. So we're not talking base MLB.
Oh, I was like, dude, what? I was like, I did not recall.
I had to have fun with this for a minute. Sure. 76 saves in the last two seasons for Robert Suarez. Because remember coming into this year, people were like, oh, no, it was a fluke, all these things. Nope, backed it up with even more saves this year, four more saves than he had in 2024. Ratios were still very strong. Got you 75 strikeouts, which was great, Ryan. So, yeah, this is a guy you liked. You liked quite a bit, and he came through in a big, big way.
Yeah, I forget. I forget why the price was so cheap. Like, I think people thought he was going to get traded.
That was the rumor all along, like he was going to get traded.
Yeah, I think that's...
Even at the deadline, they said he was going to get traded, and it never happened.
Never happened. No, back-to-back years of Don, back-to-back sub-3 ERA, 35-plus save seasons from Robert Suarez. I could probably do a Bloom board on that, and it would be probably a very short one of relievers, especially the carnage that we saw this season. Relievers to do that back-to-back. So we'll see where Robert Suarez ends up next year. I believe he opted out and is a free agent right now, but that's for us to worry about next year. Hell of a season from Robert Suarez.
Yeah. I had to go search and look it up. The 76 saves over the last 2 years for Suarez, he's the only pitcher in baseball with over 75 saves in the last two seasons. So
interesting. Okay.
He's been, I remember seeing that on Twitter, so I searched real quick and it popped right up. He's been that good. He's a free
and great ratios to boot. And he's an old. He's gonna be 35 next season.
Oh, he is your prototype. He's your RP1 probably. So yes. It just depends on where he's
make an exception for on Mr. Duran in Philadelphia, but we'll see.
That's fair. One of my pitchers, relievers, I had rostered almost everywhere this year. He's probably my second option behind Devin Williams. That was Kenley Jansen. I kept saying consistent, and he did it again. 2.59 ERA, 0.95 WHIP, and 29 saves, even on a bad Angels team. That gives Kenley Jansen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 13 straight seasons with at least 25 saves. Like, that's not including COVID. So all the way back to 2012, he's had at least 25 saves, which is pretty darn respectable. Never had an ERA over 4. Like, everything you can want from this man. He's 37, so who knows how much longer he can do it. But the strikeouts keep dropping. That's why I kind of mentioned that joke with Rossell Iglesias. You're seeing kind of the same trend, but they keep getting saves, and they keep getting your ratios. Like, as an RP2, Kenley Jansen's a monster. I'm really curious what he does this year, but he did everything I could have asked for in 2024.
Yeah, and this was even an elevated ADP 132, because, again, this was after Jansen had signed. Kenley Jansen was, I mean, to your point, why he was one of your favorite guys, prop you up here, my friend. This was just an absolute steal in the middle round, especially, you know, just the ultimate free agent discount. And you kind of knew Kenley Jansen, if he signed somewhere, was going to sign to be the closer. Kenley Jansen is not going to sign to be an eighth inning guy. And I think that's going to be true again next season. Yep. But, you know, so this may be deja vu. I don't know what Jansen's ADP is right now, but I don't think you could have expected a 2.59 ERA, 0.95. No. Like, that's freaking nuts. I just think the leash was so long for him, for Jansen, that it was a great buy at the price.
Like, I've been telling some of my buddies, like, let the Giants sign him to a 1-year deal. Get him for like $8 million or something.
Sure.
Like,
I mean, yeah, he'd actually be a really good fit for the Giants.
That's what I'm saying. Like, just give him this like veteran deal. Come be a closer for a year. Let's go. Like, I'm all aboard that train.
Go hit up your guy. Go hit up Buster.
Go talk to Buster. Let's have a little chat. See where it goes.
Up the road.
Yep. Easy to get a hold of. I guarantee I can pull that off real quick. All right, the 16th reliever off the board, Jordan Romano. He had an 8.23 ERA, 1.45 WHIP, 9.8 saves. That's not Aaron Nola. Jordan Romano, right there, had the job for a while, then lost the job, and it went up in flames.
Had the curse of Papa Bloom drafting Jordan Romano at first pitch, draft and hold last season. So you just knew it was going to be a rough one for Romano. This one's even worse because, I mean, we just talked about three closers going right before Romano, who all had great seasons, and the next five closers we're going to talk about also had good seasons. Romano is the only one, basically the only closer in this entire tier from ADP 124 to 192 to have a bad season, pretty much. And that makes this even worse, is as we always talk about when we do our previews, it's just funny to see guys right next to each other in ADP and wildly different results at the end of the year. This is kind of the Romano's the poster boy for that. Unfortunately, this was brutal, man. This was not the return to the all-star closer Jordan Romano that many drafted him for.
Yep. It was bad news written all over it. Now we'll start talking about the five that did do well though. Nine picks after Romano with an ADP of 152, Pete Fairbanks was the 17th reliever off the board. 2.83 ERA, 104 whip, 27 saves. Kind of just doing what Pete Fairbanks does. People get bored with him, it feels like. But it's been 25 saves, Ryan, 23, 27 each of the last three seasons. Two out of the three seasons, 2.8 ERA or below. Like, very, very good stuff from Pete Fairbanks. So good that the Rays didn't want to pick up his $11 million option.
Blows my freaking mind.
But again, Giants go sign him. I'm cool with that. Fairbanks, to me, did everything that you'd expect Fairbanks to do. Like, this was a pretty on-paper safe pick, and he backed it up.
Backed it up, and finally didn't get hurt for once. So that for me, the thing, I was off of Fairbanks. For me, it was Pete Fairbanks had never thrown more than 45 innings in a major league season, and I thought at some point the Rays were going to trade Pete Fairbanks and ended up never doing it, and Fairbanks stayed in the role, stayed healthy all year. Got you your 27 saves, got you one of the best sound bites of the season with the, I forget exactly what it was, but the many levels of suck or whatever he said after one of his bad outings. But there were not very many bad outings with the 2.83 ERA, 104 whip, 27 saves. So this was someone who I was off of, but if you took Fairbanks, you got all that you bargained for, and that's a good thing.
The 18th reliever off the board with an ADP of 169, Carlos Estevez, 2.45 ERA, 106 whip, and 42 saves, leading baseball with 42 saves. Carlos Estevez, this one stung just for the fact that I had a lot of early Ursig shares, and they signed Estevez, and that was great because I've had Estevez in the past, so like I understood that he was the dude when he signed this, especially when he signed a two-year deal that kind of meant he was the closer at that point in time, but he was outstanding, even battled back problems at times.
Yeah, and it's interesting looking at this board, seeing Carlos Estevez 169 ADP, and even after Ursig signed with the Royals, I mean, Ursig's ADP is not further down, not much further down, 239 ADP for Ursig. So that was, I remember, a big debate entering the season, Estevez versus Ursig. We obviously know how that one turned out. Not great skills for Carlos Estevez at all. 11% strikeout minus walk rate, which is awful. Whiffs fell off the table. Like, this was very lucky. Baseball HQ's expected ERA, which is probably in line with like XFIP, Sierra, whatever, was 4.75 compared to a 2.45 surface ERA. So I don't... whatever, but the stats are the stats. Carlos Estevez led majors in saves and got you 42 of them at an ADP of 169. That is what I dream about in January and February in the offseason, amongst other things. But
yeah, let's say if that's what you're really dreaming about, then oh boy, Ryan. Yeah. You didn't see that conference next door to our conference then, if that's all you're dreaming about.
What was David that Bednar conference, by the way, man? What the hell was that?
Yeah, I don't think we ever fully figured out what it was. We had a lot of thoughts on it, but never
like
really
a crypto slash red carpet glam limo
millionaire matchmaker. It was weird. Very weird.
Unreal.
Very entertaining though.
And then a bunch of fantasy baseball nerds wearing RotoWear t-shirts walking past them, which quite the mix.
Anyway, 19th reliever off the board, ADP of 169, David Bednar. What a tale of two seasons. Finished with a 2.30 ERA, 104 whip, 27 saves with the Pirates. Went to the minors at one point.
Yep.
Came back, gets traded to New York. Once he went to the Bronx, August 1st on, pitched 24 and two-thirds innings for the Yankees. He went 4-0 with 10 saves, a hold, a 2.19 ERA, Ryan, to go with a 0.93 whip and a 27% K to walk. He looked like the Bednar of old with the Yankees, and he was available in a lot of fab wires for that. And that's kind of the game changing stuff right there. 4 wins, 10 saves, and those ratios with strikeouts. Oh boy.
And that's what you wonder, right? Like, because Bednar did, I don't know if he started the year. I think he was sent down shortly after opening day. Yep. But to go from, being in AAA to then getting out of Pittsburgh and being the guy for the New York Yankees, like, who would have seen this coming? I didn't think Pittsburgh would ever trade David Bednar, but it finally did happen. And, I guess leaving Pittsburgh is newsflash. Leaving Pittsburgh is good for your fantasy value. I wonder what the Yankees saw. And I like the city of Pittsburgh. Been there many times. But leaving the Pirates
is good for your health.
Yes, exactly. So, did not expect this to happen at all. Bednar was almost like on the fringe of, I don't want to say career being over, but like on the fringe of being completely irrelevant in terms of fantasy. And now all of a sudden he's the closer for the Yankees and doing his thing there. So whatever the Yankees saw on David Bednar, kudos to those guys. Cause it all unlocked in the second half.
Yep. Looked really, really good in the second half. Kyle Finnegan, ADP of 170. So Estevez 169, Bednar 169, Finnegan 170, all got it done. 23 reliever off the board. Finnegan was 3.47, 1.11 whip, 24 saves. Started with the Nats, pitched fine for them, got traded to Detroit, split closing duties with Will Vest. Still looked good in those roles. Never lights out, but if you look at his ratios from the past, this is who he is, essentially. Like, he's always been a mid to a 3.5 to 3.75 ERA guy, given this is the best whip he's had in like 4 years. But really liked Finnegan at his ADP. Paid off pretty good, even with the trade to Detroit.
Yeah, just a bizarre offseason, getting let go by the Nats and then ultimately re-signing with them and being the guy. It's kind of what Kyle Finnegan does. He is the closer, and he's not going to blow your socks off or be dominant, but he's going to get you saves. And that's what happened again this year. I don't know how many saves he had with Detroit. I think it was that many because him and Vest were going back and forth. But still, I had plenty of Kyle Finnegan. And would have pulled that trigger again many times if I had to redo it.
He went in 18 innings with Detroit because he was on the IL for a stint. He went 3-0 with 4 saves and 3 holds, a 1.5 ERA.
Okay, pitched well.
Pretty good stuff there. And the last guy we're going to talk about in depth on this board before we talk about breakouts is Aroldis Chapman. He was the 21st reliever off the board, ADP of 192. Finished with a 1.17 ERA. Yes, 1.17 ERA, a 0.7 whip, and 32 saves, Ryan. This is over 61 1/3 innings, so that's a trend as well. He's usually getting you 55 to 60 innings every year. That's what he does. Got you 85 Ks. This dude was outstanding. Absolutely electric. He's been good throughout his career. He's struggled the last few years. There was also wonders like, is he going to share it with Liam Hendricks? Or there's a couple other options in the back of that bullpen. Chapman got the job, and Chapman never gave it back. And it was quite the sight to see.
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah, I remember back, the Liam Hendricks. I forget who else in the Boston pen people were thinking about. But there was not much info at all coming out of Boston on who the closer would be. And come opening day, it was Chapman, and it was always Chapman, as they say. So this is the type of... I'm going to stop talking about things I dream about. This is truly the thing you dream about. A 192 pick being the top overall closer. More saves for Chapman in 2025 than he had the previous three seasons. Like, the elite velocity isn't there, but this guy's an old. The missed bats were absolutely there. The Ks were there. Like, I don't know, man. This is random as hell, but it all clicked for Aroldis Chapman again. Number one closer. That's freaking nuts.
Very much so. After that, there was Chris Martin, Lucas Irsay, Kirby Yates, The Good Doctor, Calvin Fauché, Edwin Yaseta, Orion Kirkering, Aaron Savali, Landon Knack, Reed Detmers. Anybody you want to talk about here? I figure The Good Doctor potentially be someone worth mentioning with his 15 saves, but most of these guys did absolutely nothing for you.
Got to give a shout out to The Good Doctor, to Dr. Foucher. 15 saves at an ADP of 309. I guess that's, you take it. Good. Yeah, I mean, that's not bad. I think, honestly, not only because he's the good doctor, like, I think he was my rostered reliever. I just, I don't know. Sense. I thought the price was really cheap and he'd have a shot in Miami, and he did. No pun intended. Outside of that, no, I got nothing, man. This is, I don't know why Aaron Tavali's on this. Like, anyone who got a save is on this list. So Aaron Tavali, I guess, technically got a save, but yeah, Britton in the chat says Ronnie Enriquez had a 12-9 strikeout rate with 7 saves for the Marlins. No offense to the good doctor. So yeah, it was a little bit of a save share for as small as the overall pie was, given the state of things in Miami. But yeah, I think the biggest thing is just after the success of Fairbanks, Estevez, Bednar, Finnegan, Chapman that we just talked about. I mean, there was pretty much nothing after that. It was tough.
And shout out to Papa Bloom that in his DC at FBAS literally says when it was his pick, I'd like to take the good Dr. Calvin Fauché, which is pretty good stuff.
Which does not bode well for Fauché's 2026 fantasy. That's the Jordan Romano of this season. I've seen this happen too many times, my friend.
All right. Anything else from this board before we talk breakouts?
No, I just think in general, I haven't looked too much at 2026 stuff, but the reliever market's probably going to be frustrating as hell, just given how bad the top tier looked and how good that mid tier was. So those mid tier guys are going to get pushed up, and are we going to want to pay prices on some of these guys that we haven't had to pay before? And the other thing I'll just add is just because that's how it shook out in 2025 is not the way it's going to shake out in 2026. It's certainly not the way things shook out the previous two seasons in 2023 and 24. This was a remarkably stable position at the top. So one season does not make a trend, but just pretty wild how good the middle class of closers did compared to the elite and then the end game as well.
And a lot of free agents. Also, lot of free agents.
So questions, yeah.
Questions galore. Speaking of free agents, this guy's a free agent in 2026, but he was one of the top closers in baseball. He finished 14th on the player rater. Basically, didn't get drafted in most formats. That's Emilio Pagan. Reds closer, picked up 32 saves, Ryan, with a 2.88 ERA, a .92 whip, and a 22% K to walk for Pagan. 81 strikeouts for Emilio Pagan, a 68 2/3. Just an out of nowhere, insanely good season from Pagan. And yeah, I don't know what he does in 2026, but that was a great season. Like, literally coming into this year, he had 20 saves in 2019 for the Rays. Other than that, it was 2 saves, 0, 9, 1, 1, now 32.
Yeah, I obviously did not see this one coming. I wish I did. Its skills were pretty good for Pagan. Highest strikeout minus walk since that 20 save season in 2019. With the Rays that you mentioned, this is why, you know, I always say skills over roles, except for in relievers where the role is absolutely everything. And again, with small sample sizes, with 60 inning stints, anything can happen pretty much with these things. A Devin Williams can happen on the bad side, and then on the flip side, and Emilio Pagan, like, this can happen where you start the season with the gig and you just pitch well all year and you have 60 innings. I guess Pagan had 69 innings, but I don't know, man. This was a coup for anyone who either took like a last round pick on Pagan or certainly anyone who fabbed him.
Yep. Cade Smith finished 16th at the position. Thank you, Emmanuel Classe. Cade Smith gambled on himself and won on this one. We already knew he was good. He was a DC target just in case Classe got hurt. Didn't see this scenario happening. But yeah. Cade Smith had 16 saves, 2.93 ERA, a whip of 1.00, and a 28% K to walk. He's always been good. 104 Ks at 103 Ks in 2024. Like, Cade Smith is filthy. And we all knew that. We just knew he didn't have a job with Class A in the way. The second Class A was out of the way. Like, literally, again, this isn't a 2026 pod, but there is conversation for Cade Smith probably being a top five closer this upcoming season because he is that darn good.
That's where my mind was kind of going when you were listing out the skills just now. Because it was a clean break from Class A to Cade Smith. There was not a committee. It was Smith. It was those 16 saves pretty much right off the bat. Cade Smith has been awesome for a long time. Still only 26. Like, I get the case as a top five closer next year, which is, I mean, it's kind of weird for someone who has a career Well, he only had one save in 2024, so has 17 career saves to draft someone as a top five closer. But I don't see why you wouldn't. He has the skills, has the role, and on a team that stuck with Class A through thick and thin until they couldn't anymore, I can see Cade Smith doing this for quite a while, actually.
Yep, agreed. And then Will Vest finished 20th at the position as a guy that definitely was a waiver wire darling. At times finished with 23 saves, ERA at 3.01 and a 1.21 whip. Strikeouts were elite at 26% K rate, 18.7% K to walk. So still good in those regards. Would split time in that Tigers bullpen with Finnegan and company. But in the end, if he hung with them, still 23 saves. He even gave you six wins along the line. So a pretty good season with Will Vest if he's like your RP2 or occasional RP3.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that you said, like if you stuck with Will Vest the whole time, it was certainly frustrating. You'd have weeks of, two, three saves, and you'd have 2 weeks of nothing. Did you stick with Will Vest? Did you just leave him in every time, or did you kind of play the game and try and bench coming off a zero save week, and then you missed the 2 to 3 save weeks? So just if you left Will Vest in, you got maybe 50% of Detroit saves, maybe 60%. And all in all, you count that as a win, and the ratios help. So don't see that changing going forward. But yeah, great year for Will Vest. I think his FAB price is pretty reasonable. Like, I don't feel like I got him for like 50, 60 bucks in my 15 teamers and was certainly happy with that.
All right. Before we wrap up, I'm just going down save totals for the year. We're not going to just some guys we did not mention that will be discussed in the coming weeks. Daniel Palencia finished with 22 saves. He's another good one. Felix Bautista still had 19 saves before he got hurt, so that's pretty impressive. Dennis Santana had 16. Camilo Duvall had 16. Jose Ferrer had 11, was a nice waiver wire target. And then Victor Vodnik had 10. 32 relievers had 10 or more saves. 32, that's it. Usually there's a lot more than that. 32 had 10 or more, and then just for the icing on the cake, this gets deep. How many pitchers do you think had at least one save, Ryan?
Had at least one save? I feel like This was a slide at first pitch. Say 70.
Yeah. 215 pitchers had at least one save.
Well, I was a little bit off.
Yeah, so it just goes to show you that stuff gets spread out all over. I just went through the
200. Is that like a lot more than previous years?
Yes, it is. I'm going through guys like Jansen Junk, Buto, Ryan Johnson of the Angels.
Like Jansen Junk got a save. Savali got a save, so I shouldn't be surprised by
like, even if you want to go five or more, you're talking at least 54 pitchers got five or more saves. So that starts bringing into the question, like, you can start streaming guys at points in time as well. And you know what's impressive? What we say, Pagan had 32 saves. Tony Santian of Cincinnati had 7. So they almost had 40 saves as a team right there. Yeah. Just those two.
I like the Palencia call out. That was, I remember we both fabbed him the same weekend and became very, very, adamant Palencia supporters. I don't know why Felix Bautista should be on this list. I don't know why, but that why he isn't. But that even goes further into my point on early closers. If anything, it builds the point. But I don't know.
Yep.
Something happened.
Yep. Just something to think about for those out there. All right. Let's do some listener questions here. Let me find the old. We'll start on the old X bot here first. We did have some talk here. Our buddy Tim McLeod, run TMC, says, and of the eight that did not reach 30 saves last year, how many will repeat? 2 or 3 maybe? So I think he said top 7 relievers drafted did not reach 30 saves. How many of those that didn't reach 30 do you think reach 30 this year? Class A doesn't, that's for sure.
Wait, what? His question was, of the eight that did reach it, how many will
repeat? Oh, I thought you said which ones did not. My bad.
Yeah.
Reach it. Okay. So between Munoz, do you think Munoz does? Yes.
I mean, he should, but I guess I'll say yes.
Yes.
Durant would say yes. Yes.
Hoffman no. Trevor Megill, that's tough. I'll say no.
I'd say no.
Robert Suarez.
Sure, I'll say yes.
So that's three. Carlos Estevez.
No.
Roldis Chapman.
Yes.
So right there, it's four. It's 50%. We picked four.
Okay. So, and my guess it'll be under that. Just injuries happen, bad years happen, but yep. Seems about right. How many of this first seven do you think gets above 30 saves? Class A, no. Mason Miller.
Well, if he's the closer, I say yes, right. But it's tough to say if he's the I think he's the closer, but
all right. So that's one. Devin Williams.
Yes.
Agreed. I think
he's back.
Josh Hader.
They say he's gonna be ready for opening day. If he is, I'd say yes, but that's a big if.
Yeah, I'll say no, just given the risk of that. Edwin Diaz, yes.
Yes.
Raisel Iglesias.
I'm gonna say no. He's like 25.
Yes. So we'll cancel each other out.
Free agent also.
Yeah.
Helsley.
And then Helsley. No. I'll say no. So
we got three or four.
Yeah, three or four out of seven that we think will get 30 next year. Okay.
All right. Greg says, who are your top five relievers going to 2026? Is Mason Miller a part of that group? We're reviewing 25, so I haven't even ranked 26 yet, but I would have Mason Miller as a top five, assuming he's closing. Yes.
If Mason Miller's closing, I would put him in the top five. I put Edwin Diaz in the top five. I would put Duran in the top five. We just talked about Kate Smith potentially top five. So that's four out of the five. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I haven't done the rankings for next year. Chapman probably has to be there, you would think.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me check one thing with him real quick. He's back with the Red Sox. Yeah, you guys put Chapman up there. So there's your rough top five.
Subject to change on November 11th.
Very much so. Strafe says that's an incredible stat. It's tough to invest a high pick and it's risky to wait. So just a comment on the not 30 saves in the top seven and then all those guys later. Let's go to the Discord, where I have to navigate a full conversation that took place in here.
Nothing gets Bubba going than a call for show questions and then just offshoot conversations. I will never complain about, not saying you're complaining, I will never complain about chatter in the Discord in November about closers. It's pretty
No, I loved it. It's pretty just, fun. I have to navigate for the
exactly.
show now.
Yeah, yeah.
He said I'm a big fan.
Are you totally flamed out there, Bubba? So I'll try and navigate. Now it's my turn to try and navigate the show questions channel in the Discord.
Is he going to the first? Guess.
Bubba's talking to himself, I think, at this point. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, you're back.
Yeah.
You went robot mode for a minute, so I didn't.
Okay.
Did not.
Your screen was circling the Black Death circle, so could it be a combo of things?
Could be me.
It says, does Papa Bloom is a big fan of the Good Doctor? Is he going to get the first shot in 26, or will it be Enriquez?
Yeah, given Papa Bloom's track record with closers, I think it's a lock that Ronnie Enriquez is the guy in Miami. Yeah.
They've actually said they're looking to sign a closer, so who knows what the Marlins are doing right now.
Yeah.
BP says, I'm in a Solds league, and I had Irsegg and Yuseta this past year. They helped a lot, assuming health for Irsegg. Do you like both of them next year? I always love Irsegg in a whole league if he's healthy. Heck yeah.
I mean, Irsegg had that 2.64 ERA, 1.17 whip. Who's to say he couldn't even be the closer for Kansas City next year? I don't know about Estevez. So certainly in a Solds league, I like Irsegg probably more than Edwin Yuseta, but both of those guys are lined up pretty well for Holtz.
Yes, sir. And that pretty much wraps it up, because the rest of that conversation is the debate of, is it worth taking a closer early, which will be a discussion point. Which,
again, good conversation. We got this one from Britain.
There you go.
Victor Vodnik over under 15 saves for Colorado. I think the question should actually be just remove Victor Vodnik from the question, over or under 15 saves for Colorado in 2026.
Well, that's an over. Vodnik had 10 last year.
Did he really?
Yeah, and he got hurt. Yeah, he's one of the 32 with 10. I take the over. If he's healthy, he's their best closing option, which doesn't say a lot, but he's their best closing option.
Victor Vodnik beer bet in November?
We're not doing any beer bets right now. No.
Damn. No. All right. Trying.
But for now, he's a lot better than the mustache himself, Agnew.
Agnos? My brother took Agnos in the Arizona Challenge, and he beat me.
Arizona Challenge. Yeah, he beat you because he didn't have a full roster, and he did because of Agnos, basically.
Yeah.
Just remember that. When you see that mustache that can't get a swing and miss, that's why you lost.
I'll just be fixated on the mustache. I won't be able to think.
Things you dream about in the offseason, I know.
Exactly. Esteves' save total, Chapman's year, and Agnes's mustache is on the list of offseason dreams up here.
Yes, all the things we can dream of. But all right, we'll wrap it up there. Yeah. Any final thoughts at the relief pitching position, as it was less productive, it felt, than usual, and stayed pretty much the same most of the season?
Yeah. No final thoughts. I'm ready to turn the page. 2026 is here. It's time to start drafting.
Yeah, we got projections out. We got drafts going. We got a lot of fun stuff coming your way, of course. So stay tuned for more information there. If you're in the Discord, pay attention to the Discord. That's all I'm going to say on that one. But we'll wrap it up there. Check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm on Twitter at BDentric. This was Bubba the Bloom, episode 293. Catch you all next time.